Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain.
Should Governor Walker be recalled? Yes or no? Why or why not? This is today's big question. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August the 17th. Every Wednesday at this time, we find a big question facing the state or nation and two guests to debate it. And given the recall elections and the pledges by his critics, today's big question is, should Governor Walker be recalled? Did the win last night by the Democratic state senators and the recall of two Republicans in last week's recall elections give the recall campaign of the governor a shot in the arm? Or does the overall outcome of all of the Senate recalls, with the GOP retaining a one-vote majority in the state Senate, mean most of the state supports the Republican agenda, the policies of Governor Walker? We welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And there is a link on the Facebook page to our online poll, which is also located at our website, WPR.org/joy. We actually put two of them up there. Should Governor Walker be recalled? And would he be recalled? Will that recall be successful? So we gave you two different polls to vote in. So far, the yeses are outpacing the noes, and we welcome you to partake in that online poll as well. Let me welcome our guests who will debate today's big question, should Governor Walker be recalled? They are, joining us by telephone, Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, who supports a recall effort. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Great to be here.
Thanks very much for joining us. Also, we are happy to have with us Walter John Chilson, former Republican State Senator from Wausau and a member of the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. He also appears occasionally on our Week in Review programs on Friday. And Walter John, you would oppose a recall of the governor, I take it.
I think it's safe to say that, yes.
Yes, okay. Well, let us let me just get you both to react to the outcome of the recall elections and what that says about a potential recall of the governor. Robert Craig, the Republicans retain a one-vote majority in the state Senate after all is said and done here. Does that take the wind out of the sails of a recall effort of the governor?
Probably not, in my opinion. This is going to be a decision that's not made by any individual or organization. It's going to be made by this movement that has sprung up this winter in Wisconsin. And so there are thousands and thousands of activists that will decide, frankly, whether or not they want to recall Governor Walker. I mean, my position is that he deserves to be recalled and ought to be. I don't think there's anything in these elections that we've just had, the nine, that would suggest that Walker should not be recalled or that he would necessarily win a recall election. I mean, you can cut the numbers various ways, but I would say if you look at all nine districts, Walker would slightly lose a recall if you look at Republican-Democrat performance in each of these districts. We know the six Republicans that were recalled, that only five of them were in Republican districts. And so it was very much on Republican ground. There was a huge volunteer base, incredible activism that moved from the streets of Madison during the winter into these recall districts. But quite frankly, the Republican base also turned out in very large numbers. And that's why you saw these districts performing to usual partisan lines in this election. But in a statewide election, you can't gerrymander the state. You can't bring in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan or rural Minnesota or Iowa into the state. And the state is a 50-50 state in a state where the governor has been extremely divisive and, frankly, extremely unpopular in his policies.
Walter John Chilson, your read of the Senate recall outcomes.
I don't think that really decided anything regarding Governor Walker. I think the the people who were successful in these recalls, the Democrats, I mean, can certainly take some heart that they've done have had an accomplishment. But overall, things have not changed. I think, if anything, these recall elections have added polarization in the legislature. I can talk about that a little bit more later on. There may be some changes because of it's a one-vote margin now in the Senate. But I think Governor Walker's policies in the budget are beginning to show that they're working. I think that's going to change people's minds. The national economy is still, the international economy is still in a state of flux, so we don't know whether we're going to get into a double-dip recession or not. And the national economy will certainly affect Governor Walker's efforts to add the 250,000 jobs that he intended to add. But he so far has had good success. So I think that will continue, most likely, and will take the steam out of recall effort.
Let me have you, Robert Craig, start with your opening argument here. You just said that you think Governor Walker deserves to be recalled. Why does Governor Walker deserve to be recalled?
Well, the governor actually, very early in his administration, managed to instigate the largest mass protests in modern Wisconsin history, perhaps all Wisconsin history, because he did something that he did not campaign on and that his majorities in the legislature also did not campaign on. He did not campaign on removing workers' rights to collective bargaining in the public sector at all. And he tried to ram through this bill within 6 days. The only reason it didn't happen in 6 days with no public notice or debate is because the 14 Democratic senators decided to leave the state in order to create space for an actual debate. And that's where the gave space also for the protest movement to rise up. So this is clearly the most divisive governor in modern Wisconsin political history, arguably of all time. I can't speak to the 19th century governors. And people don't forget having their rights taken away. We think this is a fundamental right. Most of the state does, if you poll it, and it's in the UN Declaration of Rights. And so he hopes that after he finishes with both the what he did with collective bargaining and also the other things in the budget that were highly problematic, that is slashing our commitment to education, health care, transportation, other vital public services, and giving additional tax breaks to large corporations and the super rich in the process, where we didn't have to have this level of cut if they'd paid their fair share. So if you look at the budget repair bill, which was an outrage, quite frankly, nationally and internationally, and then look at the budget itself, he has certainly laid the groundwork to be recalled. And I think the recall, constitutional amendment that was added in the 1920s was there to check politicians that did something different than what they ran on, and therefore not to allow people to go and say, I'm with the people, and then go support large corporations. The capital of folly or so was literally about checking politicians who said they would support the middle class and working people and then didn't once they were in office and listened to the lobbyists. And so this is the mechanism that's available. And I think if there's ever been a case for a recall, Governor Walker's made it. These previous elections we had this summer were really surrogate elections. People weren't as mad at the individual senators, they were mad at them supporting Governor Walker. It'd be a very different dynamic if you had a direct recall of Governor Walker, because he's what this controversy is all about. And he can be conciliatory all he wants and talk about working across partisan lines. He's not done it in his policies at all. And it's all rhetoric right now, and it's not policy. And so, and frankly, you know, there's this argument, I just want to finish, Joy, on this, that it's somehow illegitimate to recall a governor or state legislators unless they commit a crime or there's some sort of personal malfeasance. Now, the constitutional amendment was set up, though, to give a year delay. That was clearly there because it was about issues that people had to perform for a year to see whether or not they really were living up to public expectations or not. And it's clearly in the legislative history and the whole press coverage of the constitutional amendment as well that it was about issues. And it's kind of ironic, Scott Walker kind of rose to power on a recall election. That's how he got elected Milwaukee County Executive, but now he and his allies think recall elections are illegitimate.
Walter John Chilson, a lot there, but starting with the opening point of Robert Craig, that the governor deserves to be recalled because He rammed through this legislation in just 6 days, an issue he did not campaign on that took away people's rights.
Well, the governor didn't do it single-handedly. It was passed the legislature. He convinced the majority of both houses of the legislature that should become law. I think we could have a separate argument about the justification of what Mr. Craig referred to as workers' rights. They were not workers' rights. They were workers' privileges that were extended to them in 1959, Wisconsin being the first state in the nation to extend those privileges. Both George Meany, the former president of the AFL-CIO for years and years, he said that public employees should not have privilege that were extended. Also, Franklin Roosevelt, Democrat president for four terms, wasn't it? Yes. He said that the public employees should not have these collective bargaining privileges. So, but they were extended. It led to another controversy in 1979, or earlier than that, at the Hortonville strike, the terrible teacher strike. I don't recall for sure, but I think it got so severe that the National Guard had to be called out. So I was called on to come up with a bill that would solve those problems, would end teacher strikes, and it was a very controversial thing, but we finally got it through the legislature to solve that problem. And indeed, it did solve the problem for many years, but I think eventually the public employees have distorted the purpose of the law, the meaning of the law, and they were automatically taking a collection from their members to use in political campaigns, and I don't know the exact percentages, but 98% of the money went to Democrats automatically, and whether an individual wanted to have his money go to a Republican or not didn't make any difference. It went automatically to the Democratic Party. So I think that was a gross distortion of the intention of the collective bargaining law that passed in 1959.
Let me hold you there as we have a break to take, and we will continue with Walter John Chilson, former Republican state senator from Wausau, and Robert Craig, executive director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, who are with us today to debate this hour's big question. Should Governor Walker be recalled? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on Facebook and vote in our online poll, wpr.org/joy. Checking the weather forecast for today, partly to mostly sunny and mild. There is a chance of scattered rain, some scattered showers and storms, mainly this morning in southeastern Wisconsin. Highs today will be in the low 80s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Robert Craig and Walter John Chilson during this big question debate over whether or not Governor Walker should be recalled. And we're welcoming your questions during the debate portion, or the points you would like our guests to debate. A little bit later, at the end of the debate, we'll give you an opportunity to sound off and state your opinion. Should Governor Walker be recalled? Why or why not? And we have Marion in Wisconsin Rapids with us first. Hello, Marion.
Good morning.
Morning. What do you think?
Well, it's a difficult question, and I'm sort of in a quandary, but I have a couple statements to make. I do have teachers in my relation, and one teaches in Illinois, one in Minnesota, and I've talked to them about what has happened in Madison. However, I must say, although I am very sympathetic to the teachers, I think that the bigger question is that, and I think Walker has made some mistakes, But when I talk to people my age, and I'm over 65, they all felt that it was a good step to try and control or address our state deficit problems. And they were very offended at the extreme reaction by the teachers, just on a civil reaction. The other is...
you know what, Marianne, because we have so many calls and so many points to cover, let me ask Robert Craig to respond to that argument that Governor Walker did the right thing. He needed to deal with a massive budget deficit, and that's the way he went about it.
Well, I think at the end of the day, there was no relationship. Remember, it had to be passed without the Democrats, and therefore it was passed as a non-fiscal item. In the U.S. Wisconsin Constitution, you needed all the Democrats in the room in order to get the constitutional required amount for a budget item. Quite frankly, you could cut the budget. I think it's really bad to cut education spending. It's going to harm our state economically and hurt our competitiveness and cost us jobs. But quite frankly, you could do it with a union. You see all sorts of concessionary contracts in the private sector, like Mercury Marine, et cetera. What this was really about was power. The Speaker, the Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald, said on Fox News that this was about winning the 2012 election. So they were interested in trying to eliminate a constituency, an organized constituency that tends to support Democrats in elections. I think that there is nothing incompatible with people having a voice at work, being at the table, having collective bargaining, and reducing and having budget cuts. Now we can talk about whether the budget cuts are good idea. I don't think they were. I think they're damaging the state, but these are not related. And so, I think that the teachers and public employees performed admirably. They had their rights attacked, and they went and did the most American thing possible. They protested. They were extremely peaceful civil protests. I think that everyone should be proud of the way the protest movement took place in this country, and it's a model for the whole country and the world, actually, as far as how civil it was.
Yeah, let me get Walter John Chilson to react to Robert Craig saying this wasn't about the budget. This was about political power. This was about Republicans winning in 2012.
Well, I think Mr. Craig is distorting the issue by calling it a non-budget issue. It was a budget adjustment bill that was passed that included this change, and the dire predictions are just not coming true. The reverse is true. Since the governor signed the budget into law, there are very tangible results that reforms are continuing to be realized. Milwaukee, for instance, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, despite early criticism, new figures from Milwaukee will show that they will gain rather than lose next year from the state's controversial budget and the budget repair legislation. The city projects it will save at least $25 million a year, potentially as much as $36 million in 2012 from health care benefits changes that didn't have to negotiate with the unions. And time and time again, from Hudson, Germantown, Ashland, Kimberly, Edgerton, Dodgeland, Elmbrook, Mequon, all over the state, the same kind of statistics are prevailing, that they didn't lose money. They're making money because of the changes that were made. Mm-hmm. That was the goal, really, of the governor.
Robert Craig, the tools are working?
I don't think that's the case. I think that's sort of like saying that you do a subprime mortgage and the payment's really low at the beginning, and therefore you say, see, it's working, I'm fine. A lot of the costs of this occur in the second year of the budget. It's a two-year budget, and then moving forward. A lot of the reason school districts are okay right now is, first, they simply reduced salary and compensation and salary in some cases for teachers, which is going to damage your education system. It's not a good thing. Less people will go into teaching. A lot of people will leave. Second, there's a huge number of early retirements occurring right now because people want to get out of teaching. That's a short-term savings, but they were going to retire in the next couple of years anyway, so that's not a long-term savings. Then, ironically, you have a lot of stimulus money still out there. I know Governor Walker and his allies hated the stimulus program, but they are being bolstered up in the first year, school districts and cities across the state. That will not be true in the second year of the budget or moving forward. The health care savings, a lot of those are low bids, kind of loss leaders.
later bids, where an insurance carrier offers a lower bid to get the business, then they up it later. And so those are also not long-term savings. And anyone in business, small business or small organization like ours, knows that when you get a very low bid, your rates go up 38%, 40% the next year or two. And so these are these little indications that things are fine, I think, are not the case at all, both fiscally and then in terms of our policy, in terms of what we're doing to our great education system in Wisconsin, which has made, played just a huge role in us being a state with good family-sustaining jobs. I think it's bad fiscally, and it's terrible from the standpoint of long-term public policy and having a vibrant middle class in the state.
Walter Jantelson?
Well, many of these changes were because WEA Trust was dropped by the districts for health care to go to another or a dental different dental coverage. And I didn't realize that it appears that WEA Trust automatically got these benefits because it was the teachers' union. That shouldn't be allowed, shouldn't have been allowed. It was a hidden benefit, I think, that came about where school district after school district change from WEA Trust to another carrier, and the gains were in the hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars on that savings alone.
We have just a minute before news, Robert Craig. I didn't let you address Walter John's point that collective bargaining was a privilege, not a right, and it has been misused.
I think there are a lot of things we think are rights that we didn't used to think. I mean, if you can have quotes from past political leaders that say that it's not a right to vote for African Americans or to have fair housing, for example, or that there isn't any right against discrimination for people who are gay, lesbian, or bisexual. It's in the late 1950s that we established collective bargaining for public employees. It was a long process. It took a long time. It is something that the majority of people think is a right, and that's why you saw those protests. And so there are rights evolve over time, but quite frankly, it is fundamental that someone should be able to have some role, some place at the table when it involves their whole careers. And that's better to have teachers and firefighters and nurses at the table and having a certain right to negotiate.
The news is next. So the recall elections for 6 Republican and 3 Democratic state senators are over. History. Yesterday, the last 2 Democratic state senators defeated their Republican challengers, and Jim Holprin and Bob Wirch will remain in office. Last week, 2 Republicans were recalled, but the GOP retains its majority in the state Senate by one vote, 17-16. While the Senate recall elections are over, the recall movement is not. Democrats are vowing to move forward with the effort to recall Governor Scott Walker. And this is today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Wednesday, August the 17th. We have 2 guests with us from different political perspectives, different views on this question, and we are welcoming your input, too, on today's big question. Should Governor Walker be recalled? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or send us a tweet for that matter on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guests are, in support of a recall of the governor, Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Opposing a recall of the governor, Walter Jantelson, former Republican state senator from Wausau. And we will go next to Molly in Madison. Hello, Molly.
Hello. I, as a public sector employee, wanted to respond to several points that have been made over the discussion. First of all, there's always this question about collective bargaining being not a right for public employees. But the question to me really is, how can it not be when it's something that's available to private sector workers? How can we have ever taken the position that because you chose to work in the government that that was not something that should have been available to you or that was only available to you at the largesse of the government? Secondly, my major concern with this governor is his stealth manner, I think, of enacting legislation, of showing no respect for people on the other side of the aisle from him, or opponents of any kind. I consider this legislation that's been enacted power grabs, as has been described by others, not as advancing any agenda. I think one example of that is he said he wanted to reduce budgets by reducing costs, government costs in health care and other forms of benefits. And in fact, he never even tried to negotiate that with anyone. He just rammed through his legislation. And the unions, in fact, all conceded to the monetary requests very early on in the process, which is just another indication that it's not about money.
All right. Walter John Chilson, the unions were going to concede on the money issue, and instead the governor, in a stealth manner, rammed this through. Your response to that?
I don't think it was a stealth manner, rammed it through. It was there were public hearings. The opponents knew what was in it. They had testified at hearings. It was a normal process, really. It was the opponents who made it appear to be an abnormal process.
Let me have you address, though, that it was less than a week between announcing it and the vote.
Yes, that's true. I think there were good reasons why he wanted to get it through in a hurry. It certainly was controversial. I won't deny that. But it drew people not only from the state of Wisconsin, but from all over the country. I think it was a plot on the part of the Democrats to run off to Illinois, and I think they were directed to do that by the union people in Wisconsin and nationally. It has become not only a Wisconsin issue, but a national issue. Many other states are doing the same thing, some more radically than Wisconsin acted. So I think there was good and sufficient reasons why the law should pass, and I can't blame the governor nor the legislature for wanting to get it through in due time and not to drag it out. It was the goal of the Democrats running to Illinois to drag it out, and they were successful in doing that for a period of time, but eventually the law did pass and become law.
Right. Why though, was it necessary if the unions were agreeing to the monetary concessions?
Well, I don't think there's any question that there was another goal involved, and that was, you talk about rights, I think union members should have a right to see that their contributions go to the people of their choice. That is not the case, was not the case before this law passed. It automatically was going to Democrat candidates, whether they preferred the Democrat candidate or not.
Robert Craig, your response to that?
Well, I think the caller made very good points that this law does make public employees second-class citizens, and how do you expect people to go into public employment if they don't have the same rights private sector workers have? I think the 6 days was definitely an attempt to get it through before a protest movement could start and before people understood what was in it. Another thing in it that we haven't mentioned was giving the governor and his Secretary of Health Services complete control over cutting Medicaid, like Badger Care, Family Care. There are a number in senior care, so there are a number of other elements like this in this administration so far. As far as the political contributions, quite frankly, just so the listeners understand, a union, any public sector or private sector union member can opt out of paying the part of their dues that would go into politics. And so it is not the case that they involuntarily had political contributions going to Democratic candidates in this whole process. But I think the fundamental point the caller makes, that we are saying that one group of workers are second-class citizens and know of the rights other workers have, is part of what led to this reaction. Another reason, I think, is that people saw this as part and parcel of a general attack on the middle class and the decline of economic opportunity in this country, and the attack on public sector workers here became kind of a symbol of that overall problem we have in the state and country.
Paul on Facebook writes, I find it funny how we have had several referendums, in quotes, on Governor Walker's union busting, and in all cases, he's come out on top. My prediction is that by January 1, there won't be 500,000 people willing to sign, but if a recall petition succeeds, he will retain his office. Robert Craig, your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, we just had 9 recall elections, and Democrats won 5 of them. No Democrat was recalled, and 2 of 4 Republicans are recalled, and as we pointed out, most of them were in very Republican districts. So I don't think there's been any decisive kind of public response that shows that Governor Walker's actions are supported, and his approval ratings would certainly show that. As far as whether enough signatures will be there, that's up to the people of the state. That's whether there is a strong enough movement to do this. And we don't, as far as predicting the result, we have to know who the candidate is, what the situation is in the middle of 2012. I'm not prepared to predict what the result would be, but I think that all I'm saying is that there's a strong movement to do this, and I think, and I'm making the case that Governor Walker certainly deserves to be recalled and has committed acts in office that justify a recall.
Yeah. What about the Supreme Court race between Justice Prosser and challenger Kloppenburg? Was that a referendum on Governor Walker?
Well, the problem is that Kloppenburg was not going to be a viable candidate until all this took place. And so she came from like 30 points down to almost winning that race. So, I mean, you can read it both ways, but I think there's a strong case to be made that race was so close and came down to those found votes in Waukesha County indicates that there was a strong reaction against Governor Walker's actions.
Do you have a reaction to our listener Paul's comments, Walter John Chilson?
Well, I think that the economic situation is changing already, that we are gaining jobs in Wisconsin, and I think that's going to be continue to be the case, barring a double-dip recession. But let me make some comments about the I am against a Walker recall because I'm sick and tired of recalls, and I wouldn't be surprised if you did a poll of people in the state of Wisconsin. They would say the same thing, that they were tired of having these recalls. We've just been through scandalous amounts of money being spent. I thought it was an estimated $38 million. Joy, I heard you say earlier there might be double that amount. Now the losers are not obligated to anyone, but to whom are the winners obligated? I think money is buying power in legislative races. I think it's a distortion of the process of representative democracy to have these constant recalls, and even the threat of recalls now, I think, is distorting representative democracy. Jim Hopin, as much as admitted that in a recent interview, he had considered himself a moderate, he said, but he's been painted as a flaming liberal, and he may be forced to become one with his votes. Recalls, I think, are increasing the polarity in the legislature, and that's why we ought to change it. Our recall process, I think, has to be changed, or we could well be into a constant recalls in the future. It's okay to have recalls based on some gross malfeasance. Robert admitted that earlier, but I think we should have not a recall based on a single vote, which is the case now.
Robert Craig, Walter John is saying something similar to what the Senate Majority Leader, Republican Senator Scott Fitzgerald, said last night after the recall elections. He says the problems facing our state are too serious for the political games and the Democrats' permanent campaign cycle. The Democrats need to start working with the other side of the aisle, not just moving on to their next recall target. What do you say to that?
Look, I think the author of this divisiveness is Governor Walker, and he decided not to have a bipartisan approach at all, not to govern like Tommy Thompson, but to take extremely extreme positions and then ram them through no matter what and to offend a huge portion of the state. You can decide whether it's 51% of it or not, what proportions, but there's no question that we have incredible divisiveness and incredible polarity between the two sides because of the way Governor Walker chose to govern. I think the Democrats leaving the state was their only
recourse to have an extended debate. So that's why they did it. They didn't want to do it, believe me. And then the recalls are uncomfortable. They cost a lot of money. They're unpleasant. But they're the only recourse because there is no way to get Governor Walker and the majorities in the legislature to work with the other side at all. So Fitzgerald's statement that they should work with the Republicans, that means vote for their agenda with no input, no real discussion. He's not actually offering any bipartisanship, and nothing in terms of the policies they pursued would indicate that. It's just a rhetorical change that they want to talk bipartisanship while they continue to force through their own agenda with no discussion whatsoever and no regard for all the people in the state who are outraged and opposed.
Yeah, and Walter John Chilson, Robert Craig just said something similar to Democratic State Representative Peter Barca's reaction to the election results. He says, it's clear we have Governor Walker on the ropes. He knows the middle class has rejected his extreme divisive agenda, and that is why he is now running around the state preaching bipartisanship. But the fact remains that Scott Walker has governed Wisconsin as the most partisan, polarizing governor in the nation. Time and time again, he has refused to come to the table to meet with anyone who has opposed his extreme views, as he has rammed through an agenda that undermines workers and harms the middle class. What do you say to that, Walter John Chilson?
Well, I know Peter pretty well, and he's a friend of mine, but he certainly is a polarizing person himself. He's extremely partisan and gives no indication of wanting to be compromising at all. I think that's unfortunate, but there may be a change in the Senate because of the closest, and that's because of Senator Dale Schultz, who was opposed to the change that the governor was proposing, and it certainly gives Senator Schultz enormous power now because he will be a key vote on many issues if what the Robert is predicting will try to be the case. He tries to quote-unquote ram through very controversial stuff. Dale Schultz may have inordinate power in deciding whether that's going to happen or not. That may be a good thing. I don't support everything that Governor Walker tried to do. There were many controversial things that he did that I'm opposed to. I think there certainly is room for compromise, and that may start to happen because of the two wins by the Democrats in the recall elections. Maybe we can hope that's the case. But let me say also, there may not be a recall because isn't it possible that the law is going to be changed in this session of the legislature and that there will make it much more difficult to get Governor Walker recalled or even get a vote, a sufficient vote.
I believe that that was a proposed constitutional amendment that would take longer than just one vote in the legislature. It would take two sessions of the legislature. Isn't that right, Robert Craig, the proposed change to the recall process?
Yes, absolutely. So it would require at least two sessions of the legislature, and it would require a popular vote on it. And what they're talking about now is you have to state a reason. Well, a reason could have been stated in this case, so I'm not clear why that would prevent recall elections, but that's clearly another the debate that's going to take place. And I agree with Senator Walter John that Senator Dale Schultz could be a power broker here, but he's not been in the past that kind of dynamic leader. I mean, he has the power to try to force bipartisan compromises in the Senate. But it remains to be seen whether he will use that power. The other thing, though, is that because even then that could block further actions, further attacks on workers in the middle class, but it doesn't roll back what's already happened. That's why Walker and the Fitzgerald brothers forced everything through they possibly could before the recalls and got a redistricting plan in, which makes it extremely difficult for Democrats ever to have a majority for the next 10 years. In fact, you could have a statewide vote that was 60% Democrat and still have Republican majorities in both houses. And so that's another reason why Governor Walker may be recalled, because the only place you can go right now to have a fair, even contest is statewide with the way the gerrymandering of the state legislative districts that just got pushed through.
Well, we're way past time here, but Robert Craig, what is your understanding of the recall effort of Governor Walker moving forward? Are proponents of a recall going to start collecting signatures in November and try to force a recall as early as possible in 2012? Or what's the story?
I've never seen anything like this. There is a movement where a couple individuals or organizations can't even make the decision. And so there's a diversity of views. There needs to be some process to come to a consensus because, quite frankly, if some organizational leaders said, let's delay it till next November so that it would be on the ballot with President Obama, there might be a lot of activists out there who would simply put it on the ballot earlier. And so I think we don't know at this point, but it's a totally different way of making decisions. It's movement decisions now and not just a few individual organizations like in the past.
We're going to have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you both very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you.
Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action of Wisconsin, and Walter John Chilson, former Republican State Senator from Wausau, are two big question debaters today. The big question, should Governor Walker be recalled? Why or why not? And now it's your turn to sound off. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. There's already a discussion going on Facebook as well. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now your turn to sound off on today's big question. Should Governor Walker be recalled? Why or why not? 30 seconds to state your case. And Carl in Wausau starts us off. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Joyce. Thank you for taking my call. My call was regarding, I agree with your guests on recalling Walker. In addition, on his train deal, shooting it down before he even became governor is a reason in itself. This causes quite a few jobs lost in Milwaukee. And in addition, quite a few of the jobs on his 250,000, how many are created by the literal ships with our military contracts and with Oshkosh Truck?
Thank you very much, Carl. Should Governor Walker be recalled? Why or why not? In 30 seconds to state your case in this straw poll portion of the program. Justin in Green Bay, go ahead.
No, I don't think he should be recalled. I think he's a brave leader who has put forward a plan to make this state competitive again. And, you know, I have not seen that from many of the others. The middle class is not being attacked because of some ideological debate. It's being attacked because we are not competitive versus other states, and we have to wake up and realize that.
Thank you very much for your vote. Don in West Salem, go ahead.
Yes, I think there should be a recall, whether Republican, Democrat, or independent. I think the actions that he is taking are more that of a communist state than a democratic state.
Thank you for your vote. And Alex in Duluth, what do you think?
I do think that there should be a recall election, but I also think that if there was a way where the Republicans could push so that there could be a new law put in action so that half of what everyone raises for elections and whatnot, if half of that went to a charity, I think that would be a big boost because I think both sides could really agree to that and say that, okay, if half of our funds that we raise go to charities, I think that would really be beneficial instead of spending it all on TV advertisements and whatnot.
Thank you very much. David on Facebook writes, the public is tired of perpetual election season, and by January, the special interest groups who started all these in the summer will not be able to sell their chicken little nonsense because, well, the sky hasn't fallen and it won't. So no recall for David. Kate on Facebook writes, Scott Walker and his cronies have kept me up many, many nights worrying about a new job. However, I promise you that I will not sleep until his bags are packed and heads back to Waukesha, the capital of Fitzwalkerstan. All right, well, very strong views on this one. You can continue voting online. WPR.org/joy, or find the link on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, our online poll. Two questions. Should Governor Walker be recalled, and do you think he will be recalled? Thanks to Bill Martins and to Chris Molina for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.